Let's talk relationships with stockbrokers. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. With members of Congress digging in, prospects of new pandemic relief before 2021 appear to be fading this morning. Plus, the Prime Minister of Britain, Boris Johnson, warned today there's a strong possibility of a disorderly exit from the European Union. This with UK-EU talks apparently going nowhere and a New Year's deadline. These are among the things that market players are worried about on this Friday morning. And as Germany's leader has suggested, this whole affair may concentrate minds elsewhere about the places that are dissatisfied with EU membership. I just spoke to Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FHN Financial in New York.
This was the point that Angela Merkel was stressing from the very beginning. You can leave the union, but it needs to be painful because there has to be an incentive for everybody else to stay in. And I suspect for that reason, what we may see is that negotiation is easier once Britain is outside of Europe than it was inside of Europe. And the reason is that, of course, we will have all seen at least a few months of suffering from paying tariffs at the global rate.
That was Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. U.S. regulators could approve Pfizer's vaccine as early as today or tomorrow. Meanwhile, Moderna is waiting for approval for its separate vaccine. And there's new information on vaccine supply. Marketplace's Nova Safo has been following this story.
Right. If we're just talking about Pfizer's vaccine, David, it looks like it may not be ready for a while, in part because it has deals with other countries and because the U.S. government reportedly passed on offers to secure additional doses in advance. But we now know that also Moderna, its vaccine, which has shown similar efficacy to Pfizer's, is set for an expert panel review next week, just like Pfizer's yesterday. And if all goes well, the U.S. government has secured options in advance to purchase as many as 400 million doses of Moderna's vaccine. So that could be enough for the population and the amount of inoculation we need here in this country, though we're not going to get all of that all at once.
So there'd be lots of Pfizer's vaccine, but just perhaps not enough. Can you at least sketch the timeline here?
Right. So here's what we can expect in the near term. Right now, the U.S. government is preparing to ship about 2.9 million doses of Pfizer's vaccine. That's the first round of shipments. And the FDA has said this morning, just moments ago, it's notified other federal agencies about its plan to approve Pfizer's vaccine so they can execute their distribution plans. We'll get more of Pfizer's vaccine in the weeks ahead, but right now the company is having a bit of supply chain issues. So that's one of the challenges ahead. And in the meantime, Moderna says it'll have about 20 million doses, hopefully by the end of this month.
All right, Nova, thank you. The Department of Housing and Urban Development is giving out $46 million to help get veterans at risk for homelessness into real places to live. This is at a time when pandemic bans on evictions are coming to an end. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
About 37,000 veterans were homeless in the U.S. at last count in 2019, down from 74,000 in 2010. That's according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Mary Beth Shin at Vanderbilt University has researched homelessness in the U.S. and says this money...
We can guess that that will house at least 5,000, maybe 6,000 veterans.
She says there's been political consensus to fund this housing voucher program every year, $50 million in 2011, $60 million in 2016.
So those are real numbers.
Last year, the program received about $40 million. She says the decrease in veteran homelessness could be used as an example of how to deal with housing insecurity for all Americans. Steve Berg with the National Alliance to End Homelessness agrees.
The big difference is the veterans, didn't they put some serious money behind it?
According to Veterans Affairs, there are currently about 83,000 veterans using vouchers through the program. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
The head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Jay Clayton, has said he's leaving. Now, this means a Biden person will come in, which could alter relationships with the people who manage others' money. It's that clumsy phrase again, fiduciary standard. Marketplace's Chris Farrell, please help. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Okay, remind us, what is the fiduciary standard?
Okay, this is a convoluted tale. So let's break it down into three steps. Step one. So brokers have long followed what's called the suitability standard. So when making investment recommendations, brokers should consider the age, goals, tolerance or risk of their clients, right? And they're also to disclose any potential conflicts of interest. Second step. Toward the end of the Obama administration, the Department of Labor issued a tougher standard for brokers and advisors who manage retirement accounts. They must adhere to the fiduciary standard. This means they must put the client's interest first, eliminate conflicts of interest, and promote transparency.
But there's a third step.
There is a third step. Now, broker-dealers, they didn't like this. They lobbied against it. They litigated against it. And the Trump administration wasn't a fan. So eventually, the Securities and Exchange Commission stepped in, and they came up with the best interest rule. It's tougher than the old suitability standard, but nowhere near as strict as the fiduciary rule.
Okay, so that's what we have now. But do you think with the new administration, we might go back to the Obama-era fiduciary rule?
Well, I think so. And David, that's one way to read the Democratic platform. Let me just read two sentences from the platform. Democrats believe that when workers are saving for retirement, the financial advisors they consult should be legally obligated to put their clients' best interests first. We will take immediate action to reverse the Trump administration's regulations, allowing financial advisors to prioritize their self-interests over their clients' financial well-being. Now, you're not hearing the catchphrase fiduciary standard in there, but that sure reads to me like tougher rules are coming into play. And it's long been a goal of reformists to have one strict standard for all financial advisors, investment advisors, the fiduciary rule.
It's so subtle, though. Do you think the standards matter?
I think they do. This is your retirement savings. You want your professional that you're working with to say your interests come first. And then, of course, you know, David, there's lots of other things that you have to look at when you're trying to pick a financial advisor, such as, you know, how do they get paid and does their philosophy of personal finance, you know, match with yours? But nonetheless, I think the fiduciary rule is a good baseline.
Our man of the highest standards, Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, David.
Now to the Wirecard story that just keeps on giving. Wirecard was the Germany-based rival to PayPal that collapsed in the spring after more than $2 billion in phantom money turned up not on the books. The former CFO is still on the lam. If you spot him, let us know. Now the head of Germany's audit oversight body is himself under scrutiny for trading in Wirecard stock while his outfit was investigating Wirecard for fraud. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.